الَّذِينَ قَالُوا There are those people who said, What did they say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَهِدَ إِلَيْنَا Indeed, Allah has taken our promise أَلَّا نُؤْمِنَ لِرَسُولٍ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَنَا بِقُرْبَانٍ تَأْكُلُهُ النَّارِ Allah has taken our promise not to believe any messenger until he brings us an offering which fire from heaven will consume. الَّذِينَ الَّذِينَ is directly connected with the previous ayat. That لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَا Who are these people? The Yahud. Another thing that they said, another statement that they uttered was what? They are those people who قَالُوا They said that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَهِدَ إِلَيْنَا The word عَهِدَ from عَهِد What does عَهِد mean? Promise. And عَهِدَ إِلَى is to command, to instruct, to assign. And it also means to convey. It also means to convey. And it also gives a sense of that عَهِدَ إِلَى is to make someone promise. To make someone promise you. To take their word. To make them give their word to you. So, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَهِدَ إِلَيْنَا That Allah has made us promise. Allah has commanded us. He has instructed us with this. What? That Allah, that not, نُؤْمِنَ لِرَسُولٍ That we don't believe in any messenger. Now remember that آمَنَ إِيمَان When it comes with B, what does it mean? To believe in someone or something. يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ And when it comes with لِي, like over here, نُؤْمِنَ لِرَسُولٍ What does it mean? To affirm the truthfulness. To listen to obey. So Allah has made us promise that we must not listen to any messenger. Meaning that we don't affirm the truthfulness of a person who claims to be a messenger. Until when? حَتَّى يَأْتِيَنَا بِقُرْبَانٍ Until he brings us an offering. قُرْبَان is from the root letters قَافْ رَابَ قَافْ رَابَ And what does قُرْب mean? Closeness. So قُرْبَان is an offering. Something that a person offers in order to attain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And usually, typically, it's an animal that a person sacrifices. So they said that Allah has made us promise that we must not affirm the truthfulness of any person who claims to be a messenger until and unless that person brings what? A qurban, an offering. And this offering, ta'kuluhu an-nar, fire consumes it. This was an excuse that the Jews of Medina had offered the Prophet ﷺ for not believing in him. And they came up with many different excuses. One excuse that they came up with was that Allah took a promise from us, this promise, that the messenger should come up with a qurban and that qurban is going to be consumed by fire. We learned that the previous umam, the previous nations of the messengers, they were not allowed to use or to benefit from the spoils of war, from the war booty. And remember the context of these ayat after Uhud. What happened was that they would collect all of the war booty. It would be collected in one place. And a fire would come down from the sky and it would consume it. It would burn it. Similarly, when people had to offer a sacrificial animal or anything that they would like to sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would slaughter the animal or whatever they wanted to offer, they would leave it. And if that qurban, if that offering was accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sign of that acceptance was that a fire from the heaven would descend and it would consume it. It would burn it. That was a sign of the acceptance. As we learn from the story of the two sons of Adam alayhi salam, that one of them, his qurban was accepted and the other one, his qurban was not accepted. What was a sign of acceptance? That the fire came down from the sky and consumed it. So the Jews, they came up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they said that You want us to believe in you, however, you don't fulfill the sign. You are using the war booty, you're benefiting from it, you have distributed it amongst the people, and you haven't offered any sacrifice which has been consumed by the fire that has come down from the sky. So this was a false excuse that they had made up. This was a false excuse. Allah says, قُلْ سَيْ قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِ Many messengers came to you before me. Messengers came to you before me. Min qabli, from before me. Like who? Zakariya alayhi salam, Yahya alayhi salam, Isa alayhi salam, so many other messengers, and they came with what? Bil bayyinat, with the clear proofs. Clear signs that showed that they were true messengers. Miracles. And also, wa billadhi qultum, and they also brought that which you have demanded, which you have said. Meaning they also showed this sign. What? That they offered a qurban and it was consumed by a fire that came down from the sky. What was your reaction? فَلِمَ قَتَلْتُمُوهُمْ Then why did you kill them? You are saying that you were told that you cannot affirm the truthfulness of any messenger unless and until this happens. Messengers came to you before and they showed the sign to you, but what did you do? You killed them. Why did you kill them? إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ If you're truthful in your claim that you can only then believe. They showed you all the signs, but still you disbelieved. Still you killed them. Why? So what does this show? What does this ayah show to us? That some people, they offer many, many excuses for not doing something. And those excuses, they have no basis, no foundation. And many times when they offer those excuses, they actually go against them. They actually go against them. Just like the Bani Israel. فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ Then if they deny you, meaning then if these people, if the Bani Israel, if they deny you, O Prophet ﷺ, فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ Then in fact the messengers before you, they were also denied. Meaning you're not the first one to be denied and rejected. The messengers before you, they showed the miracles, they showed the bayinat, but still those messengers were denied. Because if you think of it, a person might say that it wasn't difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show this miracle. If it had happened, maybe the Bani Israel, the Yahud, they would have believed. It's possible. That's what we think. That how come the miracles weren't shown? The Mushrikeen demanded so many miracles, the Yahud demanded so many miracles. It wasn't difficult to show the miracles. Why weren't the miracles shown? Because first of all, the Quran was the miracle. And also, because many times, people see the miracles and still they don't believe. The people of that time, okay, they would have believed. Maybe. But what about people today? They would also demand miracles. But the Qur'an is an eternal miracle. That one who reads the Qur'an, one who studies the Qur'an, one who understands the Qur'an, realizes the miraculous nature of the Qur'an. So the Prophet ﷺ is being comforted that if they deny you, then the messengers before you were also denied. You're not the first one to be denied and rejected. جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ And those messengers, they came with clear proofs, clear miracles. And they also brought what? وَالزُّبُرْ And the scriptures. وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ And the radiant book, the enlightening book. The word zubur is the plural of the word zabur. It is the plural of the word zabur. And zabur literally means wa'z and nasiha. Wa'z from maw'idha, advice, instruction, admonition. This is the literal meaning of the word zabur. And the word zabur is derived from the word zubra. And zubra is used for a fragment or a big piece of iron. What is it used for? A piece of something, and in particular, a big piece of iron. And zabara also means to copy, to transcribe, to write something in big, bold, thick letters, in dark ink, big font, clear font. You know, sometimes if you want to give a message to someone, how do you write it? Like for instance, the signs on the wall, like some notice that has been put on the wall, like a warning sign. How is it put? In big, clear, bold letters. Dark letters. Why? So that a person cannot miss it. So Zabur literally is a scripture or a book or a document that has wa'z and nasiha in it. And Zabur is also the name of the book that was given to who? Dawood alayhi salam. Why is it called Zabur? Because it had a lot of wa'z. It had a lot of advice, admonition, nasiha. So the messengers, they brought a Zubur. They brought scriptures that had admonition and advice. And the messengers also brought Wal-Kitab al-Munir. Munir is from the root letters Nun wa Ra. What does Nur mean? Light. So Munir is one that enlightens. One that is radiant. One that is shining in itself, and it also brightens. It also enlightens. So, Al-Kitab al-Munir and the radiant book. What does it mean by this, Kitab al-Munir? Kitab al-Munir has been understood as books or scriptures containing the ahkam of the sharia, containing the laws. Because the laws tell you, okay, do this, don't do this. Just as light shows you, go here, don't go here. Put this thing on the table and don't drop it on the floor. So, the messengers, what did they bring? First of all, Al-Bayyinat. clear signs, clear proofs, clear miracles that showed their truthfulness. Secondly, they brought a Zubur. Some messengers were given Zubur, scriptures, full of advice, full of admonition. And some other messengers, they were given Al-Kitab al-Munir, books that contained law. But what was the reaction of people? They denied. So if you have been given Bayyinat and a book that has admonition, a book that has law in it, still if people don't believe, then have sabr. Just as the previous messengers were also patient. So fasbir kama sabaru. The Prophet ﷺ is being encouraged to have patience just as the previous messengers had patience. Kullu nafsin, every nafs, every soul, dha'iqatul maut, will taste death. Kullu nafs. Who does kullu nafs include? Every living thing, every living being. The word nafs is from the root letters Noon Fasin, and nafs is used for the ruh, one who has ruh, meaning one who is living, one who is alive. And it is derived from tanaffasa, which is to breathe. So for example, human beings, they breathe. Animals, they breathe. So the word nafs applies to the ruh, the one who has ruh. And the word nafs also applies to the ruh itself. So it applies to the one who has ruh, but the word nafs is also used for only the ruh as well. Not the person, but the ruh. So the word nafs is used in different ways. Over here, kullu nafsin, every soul, every person, every living thing that breathes. So for instance, the human beings, the animals, the angels, the jinn, all of them, what does Allah say? Dha'iqatul maut. Every single one of them is going to taste death. As we learn in Surah Az-Zumar, Ayah 68, وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهِ. And the trumpet will be blown, and everyone in the heavens and in the earth is going to be sa'iqa, is going to become unconscious, is going to faint. So kullu nafsin does not just apply to every human being, but also applies to the angels. So every soul is going to dha'iqatul maut, is going to taste that. Dha'iqatu is from the root letters dhal, waw, qaf. We read the word dhuqu earlier, from the same root letters. And dha'iqa is a feminine of dha'iq. Who is dha'iq? One who tastes something. Dha'iq is one who tastes something. And dha'iqa is a feminine of that. Why is the feminine form used over here? Because it's referring to nafs. And remember that nafs is feminine in the Arabic language. So dha'iqa is one who tastes. So every soul is going to taste death. The way a person lives, he will die eventually. Now the question is, why is this word used? Is going to taste death. When you taste something, what happens? What happens? You experience it. And when you experience something, then you are most certain about it. There are three levels of certainty. Three levels of yaqeen. The first level is of ilmul yaqeen. Ilm. What does ilm mean? Knowledge. Ilmul yaqeen. Knowledge of certainty. And this level, a person attains how? Through khabr. Through information, that somebody informs him and then he gets to know about it. So for instance, you hear of some news, somebody tells you, you read something, through khabr, you gain knowledge about something and you develop certainty. So for instance, I tell you that I have a pen in my bag. I have a pen in my bag, or I have an apple in my bag. I'm telling you, and through khabr you know that I have an apple in my bag. But how will you know that I'm really speaking the truth? The next level of certainty is Aynul Yaqeen. What does Ayn mean? Eyes, to see something. So Aynul Yaqeen is certainty through observation, through Mushahada. When a person gains certainty about something, how? Through observation. So for instance, I don't just tell you that I have the pen, I have the apple, but what do? I even show it to you. So when you see it, what happens? Don't you increase in your certainty? Yes. The third level is of haqqul yaqeen. Haqqul yaqeen. What does it mean by that? That when a person experiences something himself, when a person tastes something himself, then what happens? He increases in his certainty. So one is to have certainty just because you got to know about it. The second level is that you have certainty. Why? Because you saw it yourself. And the third is that you have certainty. Why? Because you experience it yourself. And then there is no denial. So for instance, for haqqul yaqeen, I give you the pen, you use it. I give you the apple and you eat it. And that will give you haqqul yaqeen. Complete, absolute certainty. Absolute certainty. So there are different levels of certainty. And the final level of certainty, haqqul yaqeen, that is attained through dhawq, through taste, through experience. And by taste, I don't just mean tasting something in your tongue, but rather experiencing it yourself. Because when you taste something, you can't deny it. You can't deny it. You can't reject it. It becomes a part of you. So similarly, when a person goes through something, when he experiences something, that is what? Dhawq. So every nafs is going to taste that. What does it mean? That every nafs is definitely going to experience death. Is definitely going to go through death. وَإِنَّمَا And indeed not but. تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ You will be given your reward, your wages. تُوَفَّوْنَ From the root letters وَفَيَ وَفَى And what does وَفَى mean? To give something in full. تُوَفَّوْنَ You will be given fully. So وَفَى is to fulfill something, and Tawfiyah is to completely give something, to completely give the wage or give what is due to the other. So وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ And indeed you will be given your wages in full. What does the wage refer to over here? The recompense for your deeds. Every single thing that you have done in your life, you will be given its wage. When? يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of resurrection. Why will they be given in full on the day of resurrection? Why not in the dunya? Why should a person be given his recompense in the hereafter? Why not in this life? Because in the dunya, if a person is given in full the punishment that he deserves for a sin, then how will he have time to repent? And no matter what is given in this dunya, what will happen? It will change. It will finish. It will end. Or you will end. But the reward or the punishment that is given in the akhirah, that is eternal. And it's never going to change. The punishment of the people of hell is not going to change, and the reward, the pleasure, the enjoyment of the people of Jannah is never going to change either. Which is why we learn that each time that they will be given rizq, the people of Jannah, they will say that this is what we just had. This is what we just had. Because each experience will be like a new experience. So, وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ On the day of resurrection, you'll be given your recompense in full. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ Then whoever was removed from the fire. وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ And he was admitted into paradise. فَقَدْ فَازَ Then he is actually successful. Who is successful? مَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ Both the things. That a person is saved from the fire, and secondly, he is admitted into Jannah. This is what true success is. Zuhziha, as you have read this word earlier, is from the root letter Zayha, Zayha. And Zahzaha is to remove something far away. It is to distance. It is to remove something far away. It gives the meaning of Ib'ad. Ib'ad is from Bu'd, to create a distance. And it is to take something far away. It is to remove it far away. How? Through mushaqqa and shidda. Mushaqqa meaning through difficulty, and shidda meaning severity. So whoever is pulled away from the hellfire, this is how you can understand this. Whoever is removed away, distanced from the hellfire, saved from the hellfire. Because if you look at it, the desires that a person has, the shahawat, what are they doing? They're constantly pulling a person. And sometimes a person has to literally pull himself away from the haram through mushaqqa and shidda. He has to keep controlling himself, keep stopping himself. And he has to keep striving to keep himself away from disobeying Allah. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِّنَ النَّارِ You were at the edge of the cliff from fire. So imagine if somebody is at the edge of the cliff and he's about to fall. He's going to have to be pulled away through mashaqqa and shiddah. in order to be saved from destruction. So فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ أُدْخِلَ from the خُول. So he is saved from the fire, and secondly he is entered into Jannah. فَقَدْ فَازَ, and such a person is actually successful. And فَاز is from the root letters فَا وَوْزَي. And فَوْز is that when a person attains the mahbub, meaning that which he loves, that which he desires, and he is saved from makruh, that which a person dislikes. This is what true success is, that a person attains what is liked and he is saved from that which is disliked. Such a person is successful. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, and the life of this world is nothing إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, except a benefit and enjoyment of deception. The word mata', as you know, means enjoyment, pleasure, and غرور is from the root letters غَيْنْ رَعْرَى. غَرَّ يَغُرُّ is to deceive someone. When? Upon finding them unaware, upon finding them careless and negligent. So a person is not paying much attention, a person is not that alert, and what's going to happen? He is going to be deceived. He's not alert and he's going to be deceived. This is what غرور is. So the life of this world is nothing except for mata' al-ghurur, meaning it is an enjoyment that deceives a person. The life of this world, a person enjoys it, a person finds pleasure in it, and this pleasure, this enjoyment, what does it do? It fools a person, it deceives a person, it makes him forget about where he is going. It makes him forget about what true success is, and which is why he begins to think that if I have a nice house, if I have a lot of degrees, if I have a lot of money, if I have the most perfect husband, if I have the most beautiful children, then I am successful. But the fact is that who is successful? The one who is saved from the fire and is admitted into Jannah. That person is truly successful. The Prophet ﷺ said, by Allah, this life compared to the hereafter is just as insignificant as when one of you dips his finger in the sea. Let him contemplate what his finger will come back with. Just imagine, a drop of water which dries in a few seconds, in a few moments. And for that pleasure, for that enjoyment, what happens? We ignore the akhirah. We forget our destination. And we get lost in the drop of water. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. The life of this world is nothing except for an enjoyment that deceives a person. So what is true success? مَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. That is success. Recitation of these ayat.
وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ يَبْخَلُونَ بِمَا آتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ هُوَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ بَلْ هُوَ شَرٌّ لَهُمْ سَيُطَوَّقُونَ مَا بَخِلُوا بِهِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ خَبِيرٌ لَقَدْ سَمِعَ اللَّهُ قَوْلَ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ فَقِيرٌ وَنَحْنُ أَغْنِيَاءُ سَنَكْتُبُ مَا قَالُوا وَقَتْلَهُمُ الْأَنْبِيَاءَ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍّ ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد الذين قالوا إن الله عهد إلينا لرسول حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار قل قد جاءكم رسل من قبلي بالبينات وبالذي قلتم فلم قتلتموهم إن كنتم صادقين فَإِن كَذَّبُوكَ فَقَدْ كُذِّبَ رُسُلٌ مِّن قَبْلِكَ جَاءُوا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَالزُّبُرِ وَالْكِتَابِ الْمُنِيرِ كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ وَإِنَّمَا تُوَفَّوْنَ أُجُورَكُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةَ فَقَدْ فَازَ وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ.
If we look at all of these ayat that we have studied, on the one hand we see the reaction of the believers. What is their reaction? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His command comes, or the command of the Messenger comes, what do? They respond to the call of Allah, مِن بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ. On the other hand, they are the hypocrites, or the Yahud, or the Mushrikeen. And what are they doing? They're not just opposing the deen of Allah, but they're also making fun of the deen of Allah. They're not just trying to harm the deen of Allah, but they're also trying to harm the people who worship Allah. So, there are two different ways of life, two different reactions. One is to be obedient to Allah, and the other is in disobedience to Allah. Who is successful? Who is it that is going to be saved from the hellfire and is going to enter Jannah? The one who responds to the call of Allah. The one who has a good relationship with Allah and also a good relationship with the people. We learn from a hadith that is mentioned in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ said, "He who wishes that he should be distanced and saved from the fire." مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُزَحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ. He who wishes that he should be distanced and saved from the fire, وَيُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ, and that he is admitted into paradise, then his death should come to him while he believes in Allah and the last day. Then his death should come to him in what state? While he believes in Allah and the last day, and he should do to people as he would like to be dealt with. He should treat people the way he would like to be treated. So a truly successful person is who? The one who enters Jannah, and the one who is saved from the fire. But when does that happen? When a person has a strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on the other hand, he is also good towards people. He is also good towards people. Both of these things are necessary. We learn from another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "By Allah, it is not poverty that I fear for you. It is not poverty that I fear for you. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. This life is only a delusion. This life is a deception. It's temporary. And while you're here, while you're enjoying, you forget your destination." The Prophet ﷺ said, "I do not fear poverty for you. But what I fear for you is that the world will be presented for you just as it was presented for those before you. Then you will compete for it and it will destroy you just as it destroyed them." You will compete for this world. Why? Because you are deceived by this world. Because you think that this world is everything. This life is everything. And you will compete for it, and eventually it is going to destroy you. Just as it destroyed the people before you. And just as they died, you will also die. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. So what is the deception of the life of this world? That a person gets busy in it. That a person gives more importance to it. That a person gives it more priority compared to the akhirah. A person strives for it more. That he spends more time for its sake, instead of striving and spending more time in order to attain the akhirah. This is the delusion, this is the deception of the life of this world. Anything you'd like to say before we conclude? Anything in this life is temporary. And you can't get distracted by it and forget your main goal, forget your main purpose. So for instance, a person goes to school, a person goes to university, and he senses all the freedom that's there, and the partying, and so many things that go on, that you can actually miss class, and it's actually fun to miss class. And he gets lost in doing that. He is enjoying there is mata', there is benefit, there is enjoyment, but that is temporary, and he has been fooled by that enjoyment. Which is why he is not focused on his goal, on his destination. Similarly, people in this dunya, they get lost in enjoying this, enjoying that, making this, making that, and they forget their real destination. And every person is going to taste death. Every person is going to experience death. And the reason why we have been told this is, yes, that we should be fearful that we can die anytime, that eventually we have to die. But the main reason why we are being told this is that we do something to prepare for our death. So that we do something to make sure about how we will die. Because remember, the way a person lives, that is exactly how he dies. The way a person lives, that is how he dies. Like, for example, if a person is living a life of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will die in a state of obedience to Allah. And if a person says that, no, it's okay, you know, I'll just pray salah later on, I'll do hajj later on, then how does he expect that he's going to die in a state of sajda, or he's going to die doing something good? Death comes to you uninformed. You don't know what state you're going to die. Because many people, they just rely on the fact that we'll just say the shahada at the end. What if you're not able to? And if you don't do dhikr of Allah, if the dhikr of Allah does not flow out of your tongue, how do you expect that in that time of pain and agony, the dhikr of Allah is going to flow out of your tongue? So we should be concerned about how we're going to die. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. Everyone is going to die. And what should we be concerned about? How we're going to die. And how is that going to be determined by? How we live. And eventually on the day of judgment, everyone is going to be recompensed for everything that they have done. فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever is taken away, distanced from the hellfire, because some people say it's okay. You know, people will be punished in the hellfire for maybe 50 years, 10 years. Can you suffer a burn for 10 days? Can you suffer a burn for 10 days? No. For 1 second? For 1 minute? No. True success is of the one who is saved from the fire and is admitted into Jannah. And we see that the believers, they were commanded, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَرَحْمَةٍ. And on the other hand, we see that the disbelievers, what are they doing? يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْكُفْرِ. Because each person, he is rushing, hastening towards something or the other. Every person has a goal. وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّهَا. Every person has a goal to which he is turned to, meaning he faces it. And he is rushing towards it. And if you look at it, the shahawat, the desires that we have, they pull us. And sometimes you have to pull yourself back. And when you're staying away from something haram or something wrong, just imagine that you're keeping yourself back from fire. Just imagine that. And it will make it easier for you to stay away from the haram, to stay away from wrong. Because sometimes we don't see things in perspective. We think that it's okay, no big deal. If I miss a salah, it's okay, no big deal. But the reality is that the wrong action is what? It's going to be fire on the day of judgment. So, فَمَنْ زُحْزِحَ. How is a person going to be taken away from the fire if he tries to stay away from shahawat in this dunya? That if we were to see the fire in front of us, then would we try to save ourselves from the fire? Of course we would. So we need to have that kind of yaqeen. Remember, عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ عَيْنُ الْيَقِينَ and حَقُّ الْيَقِينَ. So sometimes we hear that a person has died, another time we see a person who has died ourselves, and then eventually we are going to experience death ourselves. And the wise person is he who gains the yaqeen by ilm and also by mushahada, by ayn. And he doesn't just wait until then, because it will be too late. And whenever a person is doing something wrong, it is as if he is throwing himself into the fire. And just as we would like to save ourselves, we should also be concerned about saving other people, our own friends, our own relatives. Which is why the Prophet ﷺ would be so sad. That, which is why we learned in these ayat that those people who yusari'unak fil kufr, la yahzunka, meaning it shouldn't grieve you. And if you think of it, at the time of difficulty, what comes out of your mouth? That's what we need to check. What comes out of our mouth at the time of difficulty? Is it la ilaha illallah? Is it inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Or is it some swear word? What is it? And death comes by surprise. Whatever we say at a moment in which we are caught off guard, that is exactly what's going to come out of our mouths. Listen to the recitation of all of these ayats from the beginning.
ولا تحسبن الذين قتلوا في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء عند ربهم يرزقون فرحين بما آتاهم الله من فضله ويستبشرون بالذين لم يلحقوا بهم من خلفهم ألا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون يستبشرون بنعمة من الله وفضل وأن الله لا يضيع أجر المؤمنين الذين استجابوا لله والرسول من بعد ما أصابهم القرح للذين أحسنوا منهم واتقوا أجر عظيم الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل فانقلبوا بنعمة من الله وفضل لم يمسسهم سوء واتبعوا رضوان الله والله ذو فضل عظيم إنما ذلكم الشيطان يخوف أولياءه فلا تخافوهم وخافون إن كنتم مؤمنين ولا يحزنك الذين يسارعون في الكفر إنهم لن يضروا الله شيئا يريد الله ألا يجعل لهم حظا في الآخرة ولهم عذاب عظيم إن الذين اشتروا الكفر بالإيمان لن يضروا الله شيئا ولهم عذاب أليم ولا يحسبن الذين كفروا أنما نملي لهم خير لأنفسهم إنما نملي لهم ليزدادوا إثما ولهم عذاب مهين ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب وما كان الله ليطلعكم على الغيب ولكن الله يجتبي من رسله من يشاء فآمنوا بالله ورسله وإن تؤمنوا وتتقوا فلكم أجر عظيم ولا يحسبن الذين يبخلون بما آتاهم الله من فضله هو خيرا لهم بل هو شر لهم سيطوقون ما بخلوا به يوم القيامة ولله ميراث السماوات والأرض والله بما تعملون خبير لقد سمع الله قول الذين قالوا إن الله فقير ونحن أغنياء سنكتب ما قالوا وقتلهم الأنبياء بغير حق ونقول ذوقوا عذاب الحريق ذلك بما قدمت أيديكم وأن الله ليس بظلام للعبيد الذين قالوا إن الله عهد إلينا ألا نؤمن لرسول حتى يأتينا بقربان تأكله النار قل قد جاءكم رسل من قبلي بالبينات وبالذي قلتم فلم قتلتموهم إن كنتم صادقين فإن كذبوك فقد كذب رسل من قبلك جاءوا بالبينات والزبر والكتاب المنير كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور.
سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.